Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, everyone. Welcome back to Quran 30 for 30. So the question from yesterday's juz, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse 36 of Surah An-Nisa, وَصَاحْبِ بِالْجَنْبِ, the companion that is at your side, who is the companion at your side that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to? So please go ahead and answer below bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. We want to remind you as well to inshallah ta'ala, please donate to Yaqeen if you have not already. I hope you've been benefiting from Quran 30 for 30, the Ramadan series, and so much more that's been coming out, and hopefully throughout the year, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. So if you haven't donated already, please do, inshallah ta'ala, go ahead and donate at the link below, bi'idhnillah. And we are blessed, alhamdulillah, to have, as always, Sheikh Abdullah Aduru with us, and Sheikh Majid Mahmoud for the first time in real life, in person, alhamdulillah, here at Yaqeen. Ahla wa sahla, welcome to Yaqeen, Sheikh.
Thank you so much, and I appreciate the invitation.
Sheikh Majid's from Michigan, the great state of Michigan, alhamdulillah. All eyes are on Michigan for the presidential election. We're a 501c3, so we can't endorse a candidate. We like being uncommitted to a candidate here. So Michigan did a good job, mashallah, in coming out and showing up. But Sheikh Majid, alhamdulillah, is someone who, you know, we were talking about this from the early days of da'wah online. You started young, mashallah, and you were holding these papers. I remember walking around before iPads and phones, you know, were really a thing when giving lectures, walking around with these papers, giving incredible lectures in Tazkiyah, alhamdulillah.
Thank you.
And you've done a wonderful job with Al-Maghrib and beyond, alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. So what's the next exciting thing coming out with your da'wah, Sheikh? What are you trying to do now, inshallah?
I'm trying to locally focus on the Khulafa al-Rashidin.
MashaAllah.
Get a deeper dive into it, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah. So in Michigan, Sheikh Majid is teaching Khulafa al-Rashidin. Is that going to be online?
Inshallah, eventually, inshallah.
Inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and put barakah in your da'wah. Allahumma ameen. Tayyib, bismillah. Inshallah ta'ala, we'll go ahead and get started then. So we're still in Surah An-Nisa. And there's something really beautiful that's unfolding in the Qur'an as you go through these chapters at this point, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing you how He deals with nations and individuals with different ways in order to bring them back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so you kind of have the full spectrum by this point, as you're reading into the Qur'an. When you get to this juz, you've already covered the communities of the prophets, you've already covered the righteous ones from Bani Israel, the wicked ones from Bani Israel. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has addressed the hypocrites and their behaviors. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has addressed the believers and their hopes that they have from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if you go back to juz 5, مَا يَفَعَلُ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ إِن شَكَرْتُمْ وَآمَنْتُمْ. Why would Allah punish you? مَا يَفَعَلُ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ. Why would Allah punish you if you were grateful and faithful? To show you that punishment never comes without reason. And if you are alive, then that punishment is an opportunity to repent. Even for the most wicked of people, the most wicked of nations, the most wicked of tyrants, every punishment that comes while you are still alive, while you still have an opportunity to repent, is a way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls you back to Him. Now, we'll also see, subhanAllah, that later on, you know, Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions in Surah Al-An'am how He punishes people sometimes by opening for them the doors of this dunya. فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. That when they turned away from the reminder, at some point, if this is what you wanted, if the dunya is taking you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you want to keep going there, go ahead and have it, right? But know that it will come at the expense of your hereafter. Now here, in Surah An-Nisa still, verse 153. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the way that the people of Mecca were harming the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, being preceded by the way that the community of Bani Israel also hurt its prophets, right? And asked their prophets similar questions and put them through similar trials. And so when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَسْأَلُكَ أَهْلُ الْكِتَابِ أَن تُنَزِّلَ عَلَيْهِمْ كِتَابًا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ, that the people of the book demand from you, O Prophet of Allah, that you bring for them a revelation from the heavens, that you present to them a revelation from the heavens. Now, of course, the Prophet ﷺ is in Medina and he's dealing with the remnants of the people of the book as well at this point. And Allah says, فَقَدْ سَأَلُوا مُوسَىٰ أَكْبَرَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. They asked Musa alayhi salam for something even greater than this. What did they say to Musa alayhi salam? They said, أَرِنَا اللَّهَ جَهْرَ. Let us see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Go ahead and make Allah visible to us. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do to them as a result? فَأَخَذَتْهُمُ الصَّاعِقَةُ بِظُلْمِهِمْ. Remember this for the next juz, inshallah ta'ala, that they were then taken by a lightning bolt for their wrongdoing. That a lightning bolt came instead. So they said, make Allah visible to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made his power visible to them through a lightning strike. And then what did they do after that? ثُمَّ اتَّخَذُوا الْعِجْلَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَتْهُمُ الْبَيِّنَاتِ That they went and they took a calf as an object of worship after things were made visible to them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says right after that, فَعْفَوْنَ عَنْ ذَلِكَ You know, and we even overlooked that. We even overlooked that. And of course, in the last 10 nights of Ramadan, you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا. Right? You're asking Allah for His pardon. You're asking Allah for Him to overlook. And Allah is saying, we overlooked that as well. وَآتَيْنَا مُوسَى سُلْطَانًا مُبِينًا And we gave Musa alayhi salam compelling proof. Now, one of the things that goes on in this juz and in the next few ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the warnings that were given to Bani Israel, the way they violate the warnings, and the way that punishment comes to them, and then the way that forgiveness comes to them after punishment. So it's going on and on and on and on. Something important to reflect upon. As soon as you start to see the words, لَن نُؤْمِنَ لَكَ حَتَّى We will not believe in you until. That in and of itself is the greatest violation of ubudiyyah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The greatest violation of being a true servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who are you to put conditions upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And so these words of لَن نُؤْمِنَ لَكَ حَتَّى We will not believe in you until are words that were used by Bani Israel with Musa Islam. They were words that were used by the elders of Quraysh in Mecca. Al-As said these same words to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And now they're being used by the remnants of the people of Book in Medina as well. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that no matter where that question goes, it's unacceptable from the start. But even when people asked those unacceptable questions in the past, Allah still forgave them and gave them a chance at redemption. And I think that the last thing I'll say here, subhanAllah, is when you start looking at some of the destruction of nations that came before, the Quran summarizes a lot of stories. So you have thousands of years of da'wah sometimes between a set of prophets that are summarized in a few verses. And sometimes it goes from just the initial da'wah to the end punishment. And you think, wow, that was a really harsh punishment. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never punishes anyone unjustly. Think about all of the chances that are given to nations before that punishment actually comes to them. So before you think, wow, Allah really punished this nation this way, think about, wow, how many warnings do a people have to receive before too much has been invested in them to expect such little of a response. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly has always been just and He continues to be just. And we ask Allah to deal with us with His mercy and not with His justice because we would all find ourselves in destruction as a result. Allahumma ameen. Inshallah ta'ala, I'll pass it on to Sheikh Abdullah.
جزاكم الله خيرا بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن ولا أما بعد You know, speaking of justice and mercy, I love how you ended it, subhanAllah. If Allah was to deal with us with His justice, it would not be in our favor. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with His mercy, you know, that it encompasses everything, as the Prophet ﷺ said, إِلَّا أَن يَتَغَمَّدَنِي اللَّهُ بِرَحْمَتِهِ When they said that, you know, your previous and future sins would be forgiven, why are you praying in the middle of the night crying? He said that, you know, mentioning the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He wants the mercy to be engulfed and to cover Him. So the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that which we all seek. When we say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, we read in the name of Allah, the benevolent, the merciful. So when looking at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His greatness and His majesty and His perfection, that by default reminds us that everything else is imperfect and that everything else is from the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what I want to talk about particularly is something that I faced as a non-Muslim, when I converted to Islam, being that I was Christian and my parents still are, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide my mother and family members to Islam, to the way of understanding that Allah is one, that there's a creator and there's creation. And due to that reality and knowledge, creation is by default naturally in need of something to enrich it, in need of something to turn to. Naturally, all forms of creation are in need. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that antumul fuqara ila Allah, that all of you are in deprivation, spiritual deprivation, all types of deprivation in need of something that controls it and has authority over it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the chapter of An-Nisa, verse 172, when he speaks about Isa alayhi salam. See, this for me was very interesting because I remember when I was being told about Islam And I was Christian and one of the main questions that I had that I thought would end the argument was, what is your position on Jesus? And they said, you cannot be a Muslim unless you believe in Jesus. And then they started to tell me how Jesus is one of the best people that ever lived. But also he was an abd. He was a servant of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he was from creation. But he's one of the best people that ever lived. This verse here, amongst many verses in the chapter of Nisa, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Isa alayhi salam, when he says the position of Isa alayhi salam, when he says, after a'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim, لَنْ يَسْتَنْكِفَ الْمَسِيحُ أَنْ يَكُونَ عَبْدًا لِلَّهِ وَلَا الْمَلَائِكَةُ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ وَمَنْ يَسْتَنْكِفْ عَنْ عِبَادَتِهِ وَيَسْتَكْبِرْ فَسَيَحْشُرُهُمْ إِلَيْهِ جَمِيعًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, neither did the Messiah disdain to be a servant of Allah, nor did the angels. لَنْ يَسْتَنْكِفْ وَالْإِسْتِنْكَافْ is istikbar bil-anafa. So it's a level greater than arrogance. It is arrogance at the highest degree. So Allah is saying, لَنْ يَسْتَنْكِفْ. And لَنْ means never. Isa was never someone that was arrogant in being a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَنْ يَسْتَنْكِفْ الْمَسِيحُ أَنْ يَكُونَ عَبْدًا. When we see abd means servant, and some would say slave. It is a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He never was raising his head or thought that he was better than creation or better than Allah or at the sight or at the level of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He never would say that he would never be a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا الْمَلَائِكَةُ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ, nor the angels, the ones that were muqarrabun, yani the ones that were close or near stationed to him. Some mentioned near stationed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was the angels, they would not even have the audacity to have arrogance with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But who did? Iblis, shaitan, the one that refused to prostrate to Adam, the creation of Allah. Shaitan being the creation of Allah. Therefore, we see one of the worst sins, or the seed of sin, is that of arrogance. Arrogance thinking that you are better or that you deserve more. Even when we say we deserve this from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we look at the mercy and the fadl and the virtue of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we know that that's not the case. He gives us more than we quote unquote deserve. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says after that, وَمَنْ يَسْتَنْكِفْ عَنْ عِبَادَتِهِ وَيَسْتَكْبِرْ. And whoever has arrogance or disdains, and you see how he joins them to, وَمَنْ يَسْتَنْكِفْ عَنْ عِبَادَتِهِ وَيَسْتَكْبِرْ. The one that has arrogance, and they say, بِالْأَنَفَ, like with your unf, your nose, you turn away, you raise your head as though you are better than this. This is below me. Never forget, subhanAllah, when I became a Muslim, one of my friends, I told him that we prostrate on the ground. He said, I'm going to put my face on the ground? Why would I put my face on the ground? God knows what's in my heart. You see, God creating the system and giving you the system to show your gratitude is that what's needed? Because if it was up to us, there would be a level of pure destruction. There would be pure destruction. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَسَيَحْشُرُهُمْ إِلَيْهِ جَمِيعًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will certainly join them all together. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was telling Aisha in a beautiful hadith when speaking about the resurrection. He said, يُبْعَثُ النَّاسُ حُفَاتٌ عُرَاتٌ غُرْلَى. He said that mankind will be raised up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala barefoot, without clothes, uncircumcised. And then Aisha asked the question that we would ask. He mentioned these without clothes, all around each other. And she mentioned that they're going to see each other's private parts, Rasulullah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, for every person, lahum shatnun yughni, everyone will be preoccupied. They're not even worried about that. To show at this moment of Yawmul Hashr, that we will all be gathered in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is something that is much more important than that. Look at our lives now. When we look at Isa alayhi salam, understanding that he was a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the best that ever lived, and that belief is what is paramount as a milestone for the Tawheed, recognizing the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which serves as an anchor for our actions. We do it for the sake of Allah, for Allah not going through or to anyone else besides him initially and ultimately. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those that worship him with excellence. Barakallahu feekum, Sheikh Majid.
Jazakumullah khair, Mashaykh. May Allah bless you all. Juz' 6 is one of the most unique azza in the Quran when it comes to talking about Prophet Isa ibn Maryam specifically. Anytime you want to learn more about him, you got to go back to Juz' number 6. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses Ahl al-Kitab from the Yahud and from the Nasara, two opposite ends, two extremes. So for example, in Surah An-Nisa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions how he condemns the group from Ahl al-Kitab that degrade Isa ibn Maryam. So Allah says, وَبِكُفْرِهِمْ, I condemn them due to their disbelief. وَقَوْلِهِمْ عَلَى مَرْيَمَ بُهْتَانًا عَظِيمًا. That's verse 156. So Allah is condemning them because of their denial and outrageous accusation against Maryam alayhi salam, that she perhaps was pregnant from an illegal relationship, etc. May Allah forgive us. Mm-hmm. Then Allah says, and for what they also say, what do they say, Ya Allah? وَقَوْلِهِمْ, and they say, إِنَّا قَتَلْنَا الْمَسِيحَ عِيسَى بْنَ مَرْيَمْ, we are the ones who killed Jesus, the son of Mary, Rasulullah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا قَتَلُهُ, you know, first of all, you did not kill him. وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ, and you did not crucify him. وَلَكِنْ شُبِّهَ لَهُمْ, it appeared like it was him. وَإِنَّ الَّذِينَ اخْتَلَفُوا فِيهِ لَفِي شَكٍّ مِّنْهِ, like even the ones that were doing the crucifixion to that individual, like, is it really him or not? Subhanallah. Then Allah says, مَا لَهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ عِلْمٍ إِلَّا اتِّبَاعَ الظَّنِّ, this was all like assumption, maybe it's him, maybe whatever, let's just do it. وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ يَقِينًا, طب يا الله, where is he? Where is Isa right now? Where is he at? Allah says, بَلْ رَفَعَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ, Allah has raised Isa ibn Maryam to Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَزِيزًا حَكِيمًا, and Allah is the Almighty, All-Wise. Allah's wise. Allah's Almighty, how everyone ganged against Isa, but the Almighty saved Isa. And Allah, Al-Hakim, why Hakim? Because why did Allah send Isa ibn Maryam when most people will think in a negative way towards him? The biggest religion in numbers think that he is a god, which we'll address right now in Surah, inshallah, Al-Ma'idah. Before I tell you verse 159, let me go to Ma'idah, inshallah, to tell you the other extreme. Chapter 5, verse 73. Allah says, لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا, they have disbelieved. You are far from the truth. Who are they, Allah? The ones that say, إِنَّ اللَّهَ ثَالِثُ ثَلَاثَةً, that Allah is one of three, the whole Trinity aspect. وَمَا مِنْ إِلَهٍ إِلَّا إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ, Allah says there's no one worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِنْ لَمْ يَنْتَهُوا عَمَّا يَقُولُونَ, and if they don't stop attributing such claims to Allah, لَيَمَسَّنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ, then they will be touched. Allah says, لَيَمَسَّنَّ, subhanAllah, touched by a severe punishment. Then Allah says, أَفَلَا يَتُوبُونَ, isn't it not time for you to return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? O people from the Nasara, that you exaggerate the status of Isa ibn Maryam, isn't it time to balance things out and realize he is great, but not to the point of a god? وَيَسْتَغْفِرُونَ, and seek Allah's forgiveness. And remember, though it is the greatest sin that can ever be committed, Allah says, وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ, Allahu Akbar. Then Allah explains, let me tell you who Isa ibn Maryam is. All that, juz' number 6, phenomenal. Allah says, مَا الْمَسِيحُ ibn Maryam إِلَّا رَسُولٌ, Masih, the Messiah, the son of Maryam, is nothing but a prophet of Allah. قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلِ, he is one of many prophets that have come before. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا الْمَسِيحُ ابْنُ مَرْيَمْ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ, Masih is nothing but a prophet of Allah. قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلِ, he is one of many messengers that came before. وَأُمُّهُ صِدِّيقَ, his mother was phenomenal. So now Allah is addressing the false accusation in Surah what? An-Nisa, that they have an outrageous statement against her. No, Ummu Siddiqa, she walked the talk. Ummu Siddiqa, the mother of Isa, is one of the four women that reached perfection. كَانَ يَأْكُلَانِ الطَّعَامِ, Allahu Akbar. Allah said they used to eat food. What does this have to do with that? كَانَ يَأْكُلَانِ الطَّعَامِ, they needed food. So they're not fully independent. They need some nutrition. In addition, can someone who's in need of such thing be a god? Think about it. يَأْكُلَانِ الطَّعَامِ, يَأْكُلَنِي الطَّعَامُ, when you eat food, what happens? Your body has to get rid of some of that stuff. SubhanAllah. Can a god need to use the washroom? وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ, SubhanAllah. Then Allah says, أُنظُرْ كَيْفَ نُبَيِّنُ لَهُمُ الْآيَاتِ ثُمَّ أَنْظُرْ أَنَّ يُؤْفَكُونَ, see how we make the signs clear to them, yet how they are deluded from the truth. So I'll end with a dua, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, to learn from this. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever says, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ, that's known, easy, inshallah. Now the addition, وَأَنَّ عِيسَى عَبْدُ اللَّهِ وَابْنُ أَمَتِهِ, and that he is the son of the female servant of Allah. Number three, وَكَلِمَتُهُ أَلْقَاهَا إِلَى مَرْيَمَ, and that Isa is the fulfillment of Allah's word through Mary. Number four and last, وَرُوحٌ مِنْ, and he is a soul created by Allah. And then one more thing you have to say, we're not done yet, وَأَنَّ الْجَنَّةَ حَقٌّ وَأَنَّ النَّارَ حَقٌّ, that heaven is the truth, hellfire is the truth, they exist. Whoever says that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell you, enter Jannah from any door. Authentic narration. So may Allah allow us to remember this dua and be of those who believe in Isa the way that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Ameen. Allah yabarak fiikum. Something that occurred to me, subhanAllah, between what both of you shared. So Shaykh Abdullah shared that Isa alayhi salam is not too proud to lower himself in servitude to Allah. And then you shared the ayah in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَلْ رَفَعَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevated him to him. And it's really interesting because both of them are, in fact, subhanAllah, transgressions that we find in opposition to these verses. So when it comes to Isa Islam, falling on his face in prostration, that's something that's repeated over and over and over again, even biblically, right? Falling on his face in prostration, putting his face on the ground. And that's something that many people would scoff at as acclaimed followers of Christ. Like, wait, we don't fall on our faces in prayer. In fact, it's one of the things that the Council of Nicaea eliminated was prostration from Christian doctrine and practice, right? Even though Isa Islam falls on his face in prayer, and it's something that's still biblically established. It's like, which group of believers are praying like Jesus today, alayhi salam, right? Mm-hmm. And you see these millions of people in one place at a time falling on their faces in prostration. And then the second one is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevating him beyond the crucifixion. So Allah azza wa jal pulling him away from the crucifixion, which is at the center of Christian doctrine, right? And so you have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala affirming his place in sujood, his place in ubudiyah, his place in prostration and servitude, and with that being elevated. And then you have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala physically elevating him beyond an attempt on his life and raising him to the heavens. So it shows you, of course, I mean, really, in a beautiful manifestation, that whoever lowers themselves for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevates them. And spiritually, that's the case for all of us. The more that we lower ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevates us. With Isa Islam, it's literal. He lowered himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevated him. Another thing with Bani Israel, because they are at the subject matter here, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give Isa Islam so many miracles? One of the things that the scholars mention, you know, of the chances, right? And this kind of comes back to what I was talking about. Mm-hmm. Allah put all of these miracles in the last prophet to Bani Israel to give them this final chance, right? Mm-hmm. So there were other prophets of Bani Israel that raised the dead, mm-hmm. right? And that's biblically established as well as in our own tafsir. There are other prophets that healed the sick. But subhanAllah, this one prophet, the last prophet of Bani Israel, who has all of these things combined within him, is sort of truly a last chance. And still with that, there was an attempt on his life, right? An attempt to crucify him. So it shows you once again the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in giving so many chances to people to repent. With all of those miracles, they still tried to kill him. Yeah. So what is it that the Prophet is going to show them of a miracle that's not going to, you know, make them want to kill him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? It's impossible, because the problem is what Allah azza wa jalla mentions in Surah An-Nisa, that they said, وَقَوْلِهِمْ قُلُوبُنَا غُلْفٌ. They said, our hearts are protected. Like, we have made our hearts unreceptive, right? وَقَالُوا قُلُوبُنَا غُلْفٌ. So if their hearts are unreceptive, then nothing is going to change their mind. Nothing is going to change their hearts. SubhanAllah.
It's beautiful how you mentioned, you know, with Isa, alayhi salam, but Rafa, Allah raised him to him, and how لَنْ يَسْتَنْكِفْ, that he's not arrogant. You know, it just reminded me of, you know, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he said, "Inna al-ulama'a warathatul anbiya'i," that the scholars are the inheritance of the prophets, right? "Lam yuwarithu dinaran wala dirham lakin warathul 'ilm." He said they didn't inherit any money, any currency, dinar or the dirham, which is type of currency, gold or silver, but they inherited the knowledge. Whoever's inherited that, called akhadha bihadhun wafir, they've taken a huge benefit, or that which is very good for them, for lack of better translation. But also, you know, you think of the hadith, man tawadha'a lillah rafa'ahu Allah. Whoever literally wada'a nafsahu hatta al-ard, whoever places and debases themselves for Allah, not for creation, Allah will raise them. That's what's so beautiful as well. When you look at how Isa alayhi salam, because the best of people were the prophets, because they were the ones that had the most tawadha. They were the ones that lowered themselves for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were the ones that had allegiance to the deen. And that is what raises a person with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it should be the same case with the human beings. Whoever has the most servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and is humble to creation because of Allah. Allah is the motivating factor behind what you do. That is who we look up to. And that is so important, because you know, and touching on Isa, and Isa, you know, Isa is a beautiful example because we see what's going on now when people worship him because of his servitude, but at the same time, because of that servitude, he's at the level of God. And that's what, when it hit me as a Christian, I was like, no, but God is in control of all things. How can the creation that serves the creator be the creator? And when I heard about Islam, even the meaning, servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it just sits so well with me. And it put everything in its proper place, wallahi. Put everything in its proper place. And it was like, I used to tell people that the smoke was clear. The confusion, I really couldn't understand. When I understood the concept of Islam, of creation and creator, the prophets versus human beings, the prophets versus Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as so beautiful. Whenever reading these stories of Isa alayhi salam, it just reminds me of that and it puts it in proper perspective.
Yeah. Just to pick up, mashallah, on the theme of humbleness, you know, with Isa ibn Maryam, another thing that I believe we learn is that we should help people stay humble.
Mm.
Don't make it hard on people to maintain their humbleness. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لا تطروني كما أطرت النصارى عيسى. Don't over-exaggerate me. Don't put me above a level the way the Christians did to Jesus, Isa ibn Maryam. Rather, tell the world, Muhammad Abdullah wa Rasuluh, I am Allah's servant and his messenger. And subhanAllah, here is that we have to make it easy for our beloved mashayikh, scholars, and so on, especially in the comment section, inshallah, as they comment, inshallah, you know, say, Jazakallah khair. But don't not say, I see nur from your eyes and shaf taqwa in your ears. None of that, too much, right? Overpraising. May Allah make it easy for us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, Ihtu fi wujuh al-maddahin al-turab. Throw dust towards those who overpraise you. And one of the signs of overpraising is you praise something you cannot see, right? Or exaggerate something. Yeah. And one of the ulama says, why throw dust as a sign? I'm not saying to do it and blind some people's eyes, but just from the sunnah towards them, assuming they also understand what you're doing, is to remind the one you're throwing dust towards is that the one you're overpraising is made out of this.
Allahu Akbar.
At the end of the day, I'm just Allah dust, subhanAllah. The whole theme of the tawadu aspect, we should help people like that. That's why one of the sahaba, after the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, and the people said, oh, sahabi, they start running after him. I'm not sure if it was Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, one of the grand companions. So while they're running after him, you know, so celebrating his presence, he said, you running after me is a fitna for me, and almost in a way, madalla for you. Like, it doesn't look right for both of us, subhanAllah. So help me stay humble. May Allah raise us all in our ranks. Ameen. Ameen. Allah barik.
You know, subhanAllah, I'll just end with this. I think it's deeply profound because you hinted towards it. Does Abd of Allah mean servant or slave? It means servant, it means slave, it means worshiper. It's all of the above. Like, ubudiyyah actually captures all of that. And there's no hesitation in saying that, that by being his Abd, being the Abd of Allah, that is the greatest form of honor. And if you look at the names of the angels, you know, so Malaikatul Muqarrabun, the closest angels, there is no mightier angel than Jibreel alayhi salam. And when you read the prophetic description of Jibreel alayhi salam, like, I remember someone saying, wow, like, are you serious? He covers the whole space between the heavens and the earth, 600 wings spread out. Like, he's so strong, Shadidul Quwa, right? He's so strong. He's endowed with so much, but with that, Jibreel alayhi salam, when he goes with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Mi'raj, he flattens out, right? I mean, he's in awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He never at any point goes beyond what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands him to do. Allah. Even Jibreel alayhi salam is proud to be a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, his name, Jibra'il, most of the mufassirun say, just means Abdullah. Il Allah, Jibra, Jabr, compulsed. He is a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maryam, Mari'am, Amatu Rabbi, the slave of the female slave of Allah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all from those who lovingly submit themselves to Him and who embrace that status of ubudiyyah, and as a result are elevated. Allahumma ameen. Jazakumullah khairan, Sheikh Majid. Jazakumullah khairan, Sheikh Abdullah. Jazakumullah khairan to all of you for joining us. We'll see you all tomorrow, inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.